Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, and this is your FT News Briefing. The Federal Reserve is signaling that interest rates will have to stay higher for longer. And a cruise ship operator floated on public markets yesterday. It did, in fact, make a splash. Plus, HSBC's next CEO will have a big problem to tackle, China. I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. U.S. inflation has been uncomfortably stubborn. The Federal Reserve has been trying to bring it down with high interest rates, and yet the Consumer Price Index has actually been ticking up. So yesterday, Fed Chair Jay Powell said that the central bank will keep interest rates high, and now it's pretty much anyone's guess when a cut might come. I'm joined now by the FT's Claire Jones. She writes about monetary policy and covered yesterday's Fed meeting. Hey, Claire.
Hello, Mark.
So at one point, over the course of this whole inflation saga, markets thought that the Fed might cut interest rates around this time this year. We are, of course, in a very different situation now. What did Powell have to say about the state of inflation?
I think what we saw yesterday was quite a clear shift in attitude from what we saw from the Fed around the turn of the year. Then it seemed pretty confident that they were going to achieve a soft landing for the US economy, that inflation was going to continue falling, and that was going to leave them in a position to cut interest rates several times over the course of 2024. After the recent disappointment on inflation, what it now seems we have is a non-committal Fed that's really in wait-and-see mode, and that gives us a sense that interest rates are going to remain high for, you know, at least a couple of months, most probably until after the U.S. election.
Markets were surprisingly upbeat, at least for a little bit. Why might investors feel optimistic despite where things are with interest rates and inflation?
Because the news on inflation has been disappointing, that has led some to raise the prospect that the next move from the Federal Reserve could be rising interest rates rather than falling borrowing costs. I think what Powell did was really stamp out the idea that they're going to raise interest rates soon. Okay, they're not going to cut them, but the next move is still more likely to be down than it is a rise in borrowing costs. And I think Powell being relatively clear about that soothes some concerns that the markets might be having.
Obviously, the interest rate conversation was the big thing that happened during Wednesday's meeting, but there was also some stuff about bonds that happened yesterday. What happened there?
Yeah, so as part of the Fed's response to the pandemic and also to the 2008 crisis, they bought an awful lot of financial assets, mostly treasuries, but also mortgage-backed securities. That has led to a massive increase in the size of the central bank's balance sheet. Over the past year or so, they've been engaged in a program called quantitative tightening. The idea of that is that they allow the treasuries and the mortgage-backed securities on their balance sheet to kind of run off and they don't repurchase them. What the Fed said yesterday was that it was really going to slow the pace at which it's shrinking its balance sheet. The idea behind that really is that, you know, we might see some dislocation in money markets. You know, this is a way of preventing that from happening.
Part of the reason I asked that, Claire, is that for a while, there was this big question about whether or not the Fed would be able to accomplish a soft landing, basically bring down inflation without causing the U.S. economy to run into the ground and go into a recession. And I'm wondering, is Powell and the Fed going to be able to walk that tightrope?
Yeah, I think that's the big question going forward, really. I mean, Powell did address this yesterday. He said that it was his hope that a lot of the factors that had led to the fall in inflation over 2023, such as a lot more workers entering the US labor market, could, you know, result in similarly favorable conditions eventually in 2024. But he acknowledged that it wasn't necessarily something that the Fed could guarantee.
Claire Jones covers monetary policy and the Federal Reserve for the FT. Thanks, Claire.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, Mark.
The cruise line Viking sailed through its first day of public trading yesterday. Its stock rose nearly 9%, putting the company's market capitalization at $11.5 billion. That made it the second largest initial public offering in the U.S. this year. Viking actually increased the size of its IPO twice before its listing because of strong investor demand. Private equity groups have been worried about the slow reopening of the IPO market this year after a drought, but Viking's win yesterday should give hope to PE firms that have been trying to unload investments they've had for a while. HSBC is on the hunt for a new chief executive after Noel Quinn announced Tuesday he was stepping down. Whoever takes his place will have a big challenge on their hands. That challenge, of course, is China. Here to talk about how HSBC and other European banks are handling China is Owen Walker. He's the FT's European banking correspondent. Hey, Owen.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming on. So can you just give us a sense of HSBC's relationship to the Chinese market?
Well, the Chinese market is really HSBC's spiritual home. HSBC stands for Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation. Its roots go back to Hong Kong in 1865. It's only listed and headquartered in the UK because HSBC bought Midlands Bank in the UK in 1992. And its role historically was all about facilitating global trade, about money flows in and out of China. And Noel Quinn, that's been very much a big theme of his tenure as CEO. 3 years ago, he announced this kind of strategy to pivot more to Asia, to China. But this is also coming at a time where the bank has sort of come under increasing pressure from some of its shareholder base to really take more drastic measures and really separate out the Hong Kong Chinese Asian business from a lot of the Western parts of the bank.
So an aggressive pivot to China for sure. How has that been going for HSBC?
Well, it's kind of had mixed results. I mean, you know, it's only a few years in. It's coming at a time of increased geopolitical tensions outside China, but also China's had its own problems. You know, it's had a sort of collapsed real estate sector in certain parts of the country that has affected HSBC's business. So what you've kind of seen is, you know, the pivot to China, to Hong Kong, came at a similar time when a lot of people were kind of readjusting their view on Hong Kong, and it was kind of losing its edge, if you like, compared to other regional financial hubs, like, for example, Singapore. So it's kind of in a delicate battle, really, for Quinn to play out as he looks at that strategy.
So then, Owen, what should we be looking out for when it comes to HSBC's successor and how they approach China?
I don't think anyone should be expecting HSBC to change their strategy for China, and I don't think any incoming CEO will have a vastly different approach to the bank's global operations than Quinn did. It has aspirations of being a global bank which facilitates trade globally, east, west, across Europe, across the US, and growing in various markets. An incoming CEO will have to sign up to that strategy because that is what HSBC is. That will involve being able to work in perhaps a potentially more tense geopolitical environment. So it'd be very interesting to see who gets that job in the end.
Owen Walker is the FT's European banking correspondent. Thank you, Owen.
Great. Thanks very much.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com for free when you click the links in our show notes. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys.
With good credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.